Welcome to Money Tips by Charles Kelly, author of Yes, Money Can Buy You Happiness. Charles spent over 25 years in financial services, working for banks, insurance companies, and as a qualified independent financial advisor running his practice, before setting up his speaking, consultancy, and property business. Money Tips will help you save, make, and accumulate more money, whether you are a business owner, entrepreneur, employee, or still searching for your vocation.
Hi, this is Charles Kelly from Money Tips. Today I want to talk to you about a couple of things that I've mentioned in previous podcasts. One is long-term mortgages and even, 100% mortgages or virtually 100% mortgages. And this is particularly can be helpful for first-time buyers and people that, want to get on the ladder but want to keep their payments down. And it seems that we are now seeing more 35-year home loans hit a high. In the past, these have been available in the past, but most people didn't go for them because obviously the longer you borrow the money for, the more you're going to pay out in interest. But they are making a comeback because with the strict Financial Conduct Authority, the FSA rules, where they look at all your expenses and squeeze borrowers and they do stress tests. If you can stretch out the mortgage to a longer term, i.e. from 25 to 35 years, you can potentially borrow more money because, the affordability test means that you can borrow that little bit of extra money, and it can make quite a big difference. But figures released on the Freedom of Information request by the Sunday Times show that 28,000 mortgages running for 35 years or more were approved in 2017. Well, that's interesting. Personally, I don't see why young people just can't borrow interest-only lifetime mortgages. What is the difference? In 20 years' time, that mortgage is going to be a pittance compared to the value of the house. And if you want to make capital repayments on the mortgage, you can do so. But I don't see why you can't have even longer than 35-year mortgages, to help people get on the ladder. Because, a figure came out the other day that in London, you'd need to have a salary of £85,000 to borrow enough to buy a property in London. And, clearly not everyone earns that amount of money. I mean, a nurse may earn between £25,000 and £35,000 a year. Even a young doctor would start on around £30,000 a year. So to earn £85,000, you'd certainly be up there in the top probably 5% of earners to buy a property. And that's for one person in London, assuming that they would need a mortgage of, I can't remember what the figure, X amount of mortgage. So that's interesting. So Barclays, the lender, extended the maximum term for a family springboard mortgages from 25 to 35 years. A further sign that first-time buyers are being encouraged to take out marathon deals. Now, the FSA said 2.5% of mortgage approvals in 2017 were what they call marathon deals, compared to 1.6% in 2011. Now, spreading out the repayments over a longer term is a way for squeezed borrowers to get a bigger mortgage, as I've explained earlier. It allows them to pass the strict affordability test used by lenders. This is because of the Bank of England, basically. And a borrower with, here's an example. A borrower with a £250,000 repayment loan at 2.5% would pay £1,222 a month on a 25-year fixed term. But a 35-year deal would cost them just £894 per month. And this would rack up, though, an extra £39,000 in mortgage interest payments over the 35 years. Yeah, you can say that, but then, over a 35-year period, if you look back to people who bought their house, say, in the 1970s or the 1980s for, 10 grand, and it's now worth a million, or they bought it for £20,000 in a leafy suburb, and now that house is worth, close to a million, what would it matter if they'd had a 35-year loan of £8,000, at the time, or if you'd bought a house for £20,000 in, 1980 and you borrowed £18,000 on a 35-year deal, that house is now probably worth £600,000, £700,000, £800,000. that the mortgage is a pittance. You could almost sort of pay it off out of your pocket or pay it off with a credit card, you know, or an Ocean Finance loan, whatever, you know. But so to me, it doesn't really, I don't worry about that. You know, I've had interest only loans for a long time and I'm not that particularly worried about it. But for some borrowers, you've got to be very careful because not everyone understands it. Not everyone, you know, understands it. You get to the end of the term and there's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, I didn't realize my mortgage has not been paid off and now I can't pay it. Lenders don't want to be turfing people out of their homes when they're retired and got nowhere to go. Now, there is a deal here called the Family Springboard. This is interesting. It accepts first-time buyers without a deposit by asking a family member to lock away 10% of the property's price in a savings account that pays 1.5% of plus bank interest rate. So it's a pretty good deal. Now, the money is then used as security for the mortgage and can be withdrawn from the bank if you want to withdraw it after 5 years. The rate is 2.95%. But if the borrower can also stump up a 5% deposit, it drops to 2.75. So not the best rate. There's no setup fee, but Barclays said they're getting more and more people going into this family springboard mortgage. I think it's a great idea because it means that the family member is not, you know, tying up a lot of their capital, which they may need for their own retirement in these deals. You know, I've known family members to remortgage their own property to help younger ones buy a property. So this is a good way of, you know, separating that money and, you know, giving the young borrowers a helping hand, but without necessarily, you know, locking in their money long term or just giving it away. So look out for that. You know, if you are a first time buyer, go and ask your bank about longer term mortgages, because it may mean the difference between qualifying for that mortgage that you want or not qualifying based on the affordability test. Now, just one other thing I want to talk about is something else that I've mentioned recently, and this is the pensions that people are going into from they're called commonly called work based pensions, and what the regulators have found is that many of these employees on low pay have been putting into these auto rolled schemes that are poorly performing. They're called master trusts, and it says that millions of savers have been given a pension for the first time are stuck in underperforming funds. A report had been found, research by the Corporate Advisor Intelligence, found that savers that have been automatically enrolled in a pension scheme ended up with 56% less over a five-year period than if it had been in the best performing fund. Well, again, I mean, it gives examples of the good performing funds, which have made an average return of 12.5%, which is very good, compared with some of the lower ones at 5 and 6%. Average annual return, which is not so good. And bear in mind, though, that is in a rising market. You know, the stock market has gone up over the last 5 or 10 years. So how these funds have not been able to perform in a rising market, well, God only knows how they'll perform in a falling market or in a difficult, choppy market. Because, you know, I've seen this before with insurance companies where even when, you know, the market is performing well, you know, some of their bonds and some of the old endowment policies were not performing well. You think, where is this money going? How can people in the city paid a lot of money only get 5% return when, you know, the stock market is going up faster than that and performing at a higher rate than that? So, you know, I'd watch out for some of those schemes. And if you're in these schemes, then perhaps you need to talk to your employer and say, you know, what are my options here? What can I do? But look, in reality, in terms of pensions, you're not going to get a guaranteed return. You've got to remember that you're in a fund that is largely stock market based. It's not like the final salary or defined benefit schemes that you would get if you're working for large companies or if you are currently working for the government, because the government workers, civil servants, police, MPs, teachers, doctors, nurses, they're about the only sector of workers that are getting final salary defined benefit schemes. The rest of people are in defined contribution schemes, which means that you put in your contributions, whatever the growth rate is in that scheme, less charges is what you're going to get back. So if the growth is good, great. You know, you're retiring now and you've had, you know, 10 years of good growth in the stock market and you've made your, you know, your 12%, great. You know, but if the stock market were to go down next year, you know, that's your money there. So if you're retiring in 3 years' time and it hasn't been so good over 3 years, even the gains that you've had would go down as well, because the value of that fund is going to go down if it's left in that equity type of fund. So I think people have got to understand this. People have got to understand where their money's going. And bear in mind that the amount of money that people are putting into these schemes is nowhere near enough to give them a comfortable retirement. So they're going to have to think of other ways. And I've been through this in a previous podcast. You know, you've got to think about, am I going to be able to retire? What are the projections on these schemes? Because you can see what you're projected to get back. Is that going to be enough to live on? You know, how are you going to manage? When will you be able to retire, if ever? So you've got to look at these things and either think about upping your contribution or look for other ways of generating money towards retirement. And many people have done this through buy-to-let property investments, which is subject of another podcast where some of the tax benefits of that have been taken away. But anyway, that's something to look out for on those pension schemes. And my personal opinion on the stock market is that we've had a tremendous rise and a bull run of nearly 10 years. A bull run means good, the market's going up. A bear market is when the market's expected or going down. So we've had a bull market over the last 10 years. And traditionally that has not continued for that long. There's always been a recession every 5 to 10 years. And we're also seeing something called an inverted curve yield on bonds, where the returns on shorter term bonds is higher than on longer term bonds. So in other words, if you went to a bank and said, look, I can give you this money for 5 years, they would give you a higher return, right? If you only want to give them the money where you can withdraw it straight away, you get a lower return. But in the bond market, which means the market for where the government raises money and large companies raise money, that has reversed. So you're now being offered higher. The market is giving you better rates on short term than long term. Don't ask me how to explain high finance. I just know what I've read. But that has traditionally been seen as a sign of a pending recession within, you know, the following couple of years. So watch out for that. If you're in pension schemes where all your money is in equities, you might want to talk to a broker. You might want to talk to take your own financial advice on this, and maybe park some of that money into less risky investments, especially if you're nearing retirement. So if you're within 5 years of retirement, you don't want to have all your money out there in the market at risk, you know, with a cricketer, like a cricketer without a box, you're unprotected. You want to make sure that your money is protected, especially coming up towards retirement. Okay, thanks very much. And remember to look at your retirement. Remember to look closely at this, because I personally think millions of people are not going to be able to retire when they reach 65 or even 70. So that's a big thing coming up in the future. So anyway, sorry to end on a dour note there, but there's still things you can do yourself. There are lots of things, and that's covered in a previous podcast. There are lots of things you can do to boost your retirement if you plan ahead and you think about it and not just wait until you get there and go, whoa, I haven't got any money. Okay, thanks very much. This has been Charles Kelly bringing you money tips to help you save, earn, invest, accumulate, and ultimately enjoy more money.
Thank you for listening to Money Tips. For more tips and information, visit moneytipsdaily.com. The information given in this podcast is for your entertainment and should not be construed as financial advice. As always, take independent financial advice before making any investment decisions.